This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following is a paid commercial program. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or its advertisers.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Boy, let me tell you, there's a lot going on, and Kyle Rittenhouse is not guilty. That's right. I think I walked into every bar I possibly could and yell out, Rittenhouse, because he's not guilty. You know what? As an ambassador to the Second Amendment, as an ambassador to, you know, standing up for our constitutional rights, as an ambassador for the black community when it comes to firearms, are we defending Rosenbaum, the guy who said he would kill you mother effing N-words? I just need to know who are we supporting today, because I have a problem with that. You know, Rosenbaum, this guy literally said this 20 times, and then he tried to act on it. And so Kyle Rittenhouse had no choice but to defend himself. And a jury has said, guess what? Not guilty. You got to, it's salty, but you got to swallow it and just let it go down. Also, Atlanta, Georgia. That's what I want to talk about. Man, let me tell you, Atlanta, what is going on? Over in the Atlanta airport yesterday, someone goes through security. And let me tell you, Atlanta is one thing, but Austin, in Austin, Texas, Austin is the worst airport in the entire country where people forget and take their guns through security. The worst in the entire country is Austin, Texas airport. But over in Atlanta, this idiot goes through security with his firearm in his luggage and tries to go through the checkpoint. You know, that area where they send all your stuff through the metal detector, you know, where they screen it, you know what I'm saying? Where they're looking at it all, you know, they're doing the, oh, in, out, that's what I'm talking about. So he goes through security, the checkpoint, and they say, boom, dumb, you have a gun in your bag. So what does he do? Well, TSA comes over, you have a gun, they go in, and TSA negligently, not accidental. There was nothing accidental about this. There's no accident. You negligently put your hands on a gun and pull the trigger. Caused a panic in the Atlanta airport. People were running for their lives. They left their luggage. They left everything at the airport. They barely grabbed their kids, running for their ever-loving life. You know how it is. One person runs, then the second person, then the third person, and then before you know it, boy, everyone's going for the door. And it was chaos. Take a look at this. All right. Boy, I'm telling you, it's this manhouse. They're running for their lives, grabbing everything to get out. And then before you know it, they had to shut the entire airport down. Everything. Cancel flights. We're talking it was just insane at the Atlanta, Georgia airport. We got to do better, people. You got to do better. And then this idiot, guess what he did? Idiot who took his gun to the airport, He grabbed the gun and left and ran for it. Hold on. Let me do a report. According to I'm looking at the sky cam here. I'm looking at the satellite picture, and it looks like he's almost in Florida right about now. He's still running, but they know who he is. This idiot ran for his life. I'm telling you, boy, nothing will ever. It will never cease to amaze me. Never. But you know what? I want to go back to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse. Boy, the verdict's in. Not guilty. And you know what? I look at the case of Kyle Rittenhouse. I look at that case the same as I look at Ahmaud Arbery. You know that? That's what I say.
Yes, yeah, pretty similar.
Welcome to the show. Who is this? Who is that voice?
It's a familiar voice that you all know and love.
Yes, yeah, right. The ladies love you in that suit and that tie.
Yeah, I know.
They don't know you like I do.
Oh, God.
There's a flower tie.
Yeah, you like this?
It's kind of girly. Like it's kind of girly, but go ahead. Anyway, go ahead.
So, no, yeah, Rittenhouse didn't do anything wrong.
Okay.
Not a damn thing.
Nothing wrong.
No.
Not guilty.
Not guilty. I think this was the correct verdict.
Why do you say
that? I agree with it.
He was a shooter.
They
were responding to a mass shooter, according to what people were saying.
He was being chased down. Someone had fired a gun prior to him shooting any shots. Rosenbaum, the child molester who he killed, had previously threatened to kill him, threatened his life, and it was also in the midst of a riot. There was a arson happening. I believe that's a fireable offense in Texas, right, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't. It's kind of amazing that he was even arrested.
It's like this. In Texas, let me tell you something. In Texas, if you are committing burglary, any portion of your body goes through that door, the window, whether it's daytime or nighttime, a person can use force or deadly force to stop you.
Right.
In Texas, if you are committing arson, it doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime, a person can use force or deadly force and stop you. In Texas, if you're committing criminal mischief at night, a person can use force or deadly force to stop you. In Texas, if you're trying to kill someone, they can use force or deadly force to stop you. I can keep going.
Well, I think this is all exacerbated by the fact that there was an active riot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's a protest going on.
Yeah, so it's doubled down.
I mean, protest changed to a riot.
Plus, the media just kind of blew it all out of proportion.
Why do you say that?
The media kind of lit a fire. I mean,
they painted him as a white supremacist. He shot and killed two white guys. The one black guy that did attack him, Jump Kick Man, who I think they
finally
released
identified
his info in court.
He's been identified.
He didn't even shoot that guy. It's all a narrative that's been crafted in order to paint Rittenhouse as the bad guy. And I think it's a pretty clear attack on the Second Amendment and on individual liberties, right to self-defense, right to keep a gun. I mean, like I said earlier, there's really not what aspect of this is even remotely wrong.
They F-A-F-T-O. That's what I'm talking about.
They found out. That's
they
for,
found
that's for
out
sure.
Big time.
Hey, let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
Who in their right minds would attack somebody with a loaded gun with a skateboard?
Mm.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, they found out. Yeah, you don't bring a skateboard to a gunfight.
Kind of stupid.
You know, and he who
no, I think that was some really good booze that they were drinking, because you got to be drunk and lit to do something that dumb.
He who draws first and gets off that first shot wins. That's all I got to say. Now, let's go back to comparing this. I want to compare this to
Arbery.
That's right, to Ahmaud Arbery and the Kyle Rittenhouse case. I look at those cases the same.
How do you do that?
TJ?
I mean, I don't get...
Because,
and that,
talking to the mic.
Okay, that's why I think this is why I got invited to the show tonight.
That's right.
Was because you posted on Facebook, you saw these as the same, and if you didn't see these as the same, you were a racist.
That's right.
And I don't...
If you don't see the Kyle Rittenhouse case and the Ahmaud Arbery case as the same situation, you are racist.
No, okay, no,
fine.
No.
Says
no.
Michael Cargill.
Says Michael Cargill.
So says the Lord.
Okay.
Hold on.
Then by your standard, for some reason, I'm now a racist because I do not see these two being anything alike.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Go ahead. And by the way, our call-in number is 512-643-5483. Come and call me and tell me I'm wrong.
I'll tell you you're wrong right to your face right now.
That's why
here's the deal. These cases are very, very similar, but if you don't see them as similar, it doesn't mean that you're racist.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Who, you? You the authority on racism?
I'm the authority. Are you Jesus? I'm the ambassador.
Are you Muhammad?
So Allah,
Muhammad's a little more accurate. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Just tell me, how in the world can you say that these cases,
they are similar because in both situations, there was a person being chased down.
Here.
In one situation, it was a person being chased down by a literal mob, and in the other situation, it was a person being chased down by a posse.
Yes.
The only difference, really, is that one guy was black and unarmed, and one guy was white and armed. And the only mistake that Ahmed Arbery made was that he didn't have a gun.
That's right.
Period.
That's right. That's right. Same case.
Can we end the show now?
No.
Do you not see how that's the same?
I do. And I'm not an expert on the Arbery case. I'm not an expert on the Rittenhouse case. But the Arbery case looks to me like you had three redneck posse guys that were
chasing.
Those three guys were probably racists.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were chasing him, right?
And they were chasing a black guy.
Okay.
And they shot him dead.
Okay.
Okay. He had been walking around
So they were chasing him.
They were chasing him.
He was being chased by a mob of people, three people.
He was being chased by three people.
All right.
Yes.
And we can consider that a mob. Or posse.
Okay.
Posse.
Right, that's fine.
Now, smaller than a mob.
Kyle Rittenhouse. He was being chased.
Okay. Let's.
Was he being chased?
Well, let him go. Let him talk.
Was he being chased? He was being chased by Rosenbaum.
Okay.
Child molester.
One guy.
He stopped him.
Okay.
And he
attacked him. He went for his gun. And Rosenbaum.
Listen, folks, this is mansplaining. Go ahead.
I don't know what the term mansplaining is, but he. And
you Rosenbaum, can't mansplain to a man. Did you just call yourself a woman?
And so Rosenbaum.
Michael's transitioning
Rosenbaum
here on the show today.
Supposedly grabbed for the gun, and he shot and killed him dead. Boom. Self-defense. The biggest self-defense
mm-hmm.
was the guy that he shot. I can't pronounce his name. Gillespie or
Grosscrotch.
Grosscrotch.
Grosscrotch. Okay.
Grosscrotch.
I mean.
Grosscrotch.
I mean, once he put. Once whoever the guy that he obliterated his arm,
right.
Okay, he pointed a gun at him and shot him. See, this is where
some things happened before that. So you had someone drop kick guy jumped up, tried to kick him in the face.
Right.
You had another guy come up and try to snatch his rifle. Another guy tried to hit him with a skateboard, and then the other guy had the pistol.
Right.
There was another guy. There were two other people that were approaching that decided, oops, too many people have been shot. I'm going to back up.
Right. But the guy that he shot and did not kill, okay, that was the easiest to say not guilty. Almost immediately, because he was being chased. You have video of the guy when he
that's a long way to go in saying that he was being chased. He was being chased. Say it.
Okay, he was being chased.
Thank you. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this and more. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse case. We're talking about Ahmaud Arbery. You know, and I'm kind of disappointed. I'm disappointed because people are not discussing the Ahmaud Arbery case. Gary,
yeah.
Why?
I think that they're the same. They're essentially the same. The same case. Sorry, my headphones are going in and out.
You're fine. They're the same case.
They're essentially the same case, but there are discrepancies and little intricacies and semantics that separate them, but they're essentially the same thing. In my opinion, the reason that a lot of people would say that they aren't similar is purely because of the fact that one of them occurred during an active riot. In both situations, it's a man being chased by a gang of people and is fearing for his life. Do not be fooled. If Kyle Rittenhouse,
both cases are the same.
If Kyle Rittenhouse did not have a gun, that would be a dead kid.
Right.
That's Ahmaud Arbery. Kyle Rittenhouse would have been Ahmaud Arbery.
That is correct.
Am I saying that name right?
Ahmaud Arbery.
Ahmaud Arbery.
Close enough.
And
he's not here to tell you. Correct.
And you know why he's not here?
Because
he didn't have a gun.
Because he didn't have a
gun. He should have had a gun.
That's right.
And if he would have had a gun,
he would be here to tell us.
These cases would be identical.
That's
there
right.
Wouldn't be any differences.
That's right.
Yes, because if he would have had a gun, then you would have had the chaser being shot in the same way that the Rittenhouse case was. The chasers were shot, not the chasee.
Right.
In the Arbery case, the chaser shot the chasee. So that's why I say there's no difference. Now, somebody asked during the break, well, which one was worse? Well, I don't even know if that really matters.
But which is worse?
But everybody wants to. They're not.
Same case.
I still say it's the same case.
Yeah.
Well, I still say because Michael Cargill says it. I'm a racist then because I don't see these cases.
Yeah, but you can't let Michael get under your skin like that.
That's my job.
You can't let him get into your head like that.
Oh, he's not in my head.
You're on the show. Look, here's the thing. Michael says that if you don't see these things as the same thing, that you're racist, right?
That's right.
I think that that's a variable that might affect certain people, but I think that the reason that some people, not you necessarily, because I think you actually agree that the Ahmaud Arbery thing is messed up, but I think there's a lot of people who view the Ahmaud Arbery thing as different, or they don't want to talk about it because it could possibly make the Second Amendment and guns look bad.
Okay, go back to what you asked a question of why people aren't talking about that case.
Yes.
One of the reasons why people aren't talking about that case, in my mind, is there was so much video evidence in the Rittenhouse case.
She talked directly into the mic.
Okay. There was so much video evidence in the Rittenhouse case. I mean, we don't. All we have on the Arbery case is he said, she said, they said. Okay, we don't.
There's a very clear video.
Okay,
of him getting shot. It's just tough because Ahmaud doesn't have a gun, so that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a video.
It's the.
I think that racism could be a variable. I think that. But I think that the main thing really, really is that one of these in the group of people that we interact with and network with and work with, we work with a lot of pro-gun people. And the people that are really pro-gun sometimes are not going to want to talk about a story like that where these weird hillbillies made guns look bad.
I look at this from the beginning, okay? So both people probably should not have been there, should not have done that. I look at Ahmaud Arbery.
No, wrong.
I'm not
wrong,
Ahmaud
wrong,
Arbery.
Wrong.
Yeah, wrong.
I'm not going to go into someone else's house under construction is something I will not do. You can ask Zach this. Me and Zach go jogging around, whatever, exercising.
You don't jog.
And whatever. And Zach
I
comes
watch
up,
that.
Zach comes up, you know, comes up to a house and he says, hey, let's go check out this house because it's for sale. I refuse to do that. I will stand in the middle of the road. I'm not going to walk up to this house and peek through the windows of this house because I don't want to get shot by one of the neighbors. I know better than that because I'm black. Okay. Exactly. And I will not do that.
And you know what? There are white people that have that feeling as well. And you know who one of them is?
Who's that?
Me. Because I got in a lot of trouble with the police when I was a kid. And I got used to the feeling of having a sort of a bad reputation. But I bestowed that upon myself.
Because you're a rotten child.
Okay.
But anyway.
Oh. So back in 1963, none of you probably were even born yet. But in 1963, my parents and I and my sisters, we moved to a new house that was, and everything north of us was cow land. And then they started building houses up in there. And we would walk through and look at the floor. We would walk through and look at the floor plans constantly. It was no biggie to walk through a house that was being built to say, "Wow, look at the, wonder what this is going to be." How so?
Must have been nice, right?
I mean,
different world.
Again, that was 1963 in Normal, Illinois, which was a bubble of its own, but. I don't think Aubrey walking in and looking around at a construction site was anything wrong with that.
No, no, I don't think it's a big deal.
It's not worth the murder.
It's not worth shooting someone over.
Is that even chargeable?
I think it could be in some states that is trespassing. Okay, you're
doing what I,
in other words, can think about it like this: Can you walk downtown Austin right now and walk into a construction site, a building that's being built?
I wouldn't do that because
why not?
Because. First of all,
it's the same thing.
No, it's totally not the same thing.
It's a construction site. It's the same thing.
On paper, it's
tomato,
the same
tomato.
Thing, but in real life, it's not.
It's still a bad idea.
It doesn't translate.
Okay,
I will say one at a time.
Now my mic's not working.
None of the houses that are being built, okay, have chain link fence around them like the places downtown do.
Okay, go, Gary.
Okay, that's. There are houses being built with chain link fences around them. When I was a kid, I would walk into construction sites and look around. But you know, as you get older, you learn things, and it's all dependent upon the location and the scenario. And the way I'm going to tie that back into the Rittenhouse thing is that the Rittenhouse situation was during an active riot, and the Ahmaud Arbery situation was a guy walking down a street. Look, if you don't want somebody in a construction site, you put a chain link fence around it.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Like I said before, they're both being chased. They both, you know, were going somewhere, probably should not have gone, whether it's going to a protest, going to a riot, whatever. You're 17 years old, you shouldn't have been there. Going into a house that's under construction, you shouldn't have been there. You know, they both did something, whatever. They had a right to be there, whatever, however you want to decide it. But they were both being chased. One had a gun, one didn't. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hey, this is AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're going to change gears just a little bit. I want to talk some guns real quick. I want to talk about suppressors. I want to talk about silencers, you know, because, man, you know, my gun of choice is I actually have a Maxim 9 that I love to carry. I love to open carry that, and it has a suppressor on it. And I love that firearm. I like to have a gun next to my bedside that actually has a suppressor or a silencer on it. So that way, you know, because I jump up in the middle of the night, I have to defend myself, protect my family. There's a button over there for you. If I have to protect my family, I want to make sure that, you know, hey, you know, I don't have ear protection on. So I want to bring into this conversation a little bit. I want to talk to one of the founders and CFO of KGM Technologies. I know it as KG Made. You may know it as KG Made, but they're KGM Technologies. Man, welcome to the show and tell people who you are and what do you guys do.
Oh, thank you for having me. My name is Kyle Grobe. I'm the founder and CTO of KGM Technologies. Our parent company is still KG Made. That's how we kind of got into the firearms industry. But everyone knows us as KGM Technologies now. We're a pretty large suppressor manufacturer here in Georgia. which is another free state close to Texas. but yeah, we're probably one of the largest in the Western Hemisphere in terms of manufacturing.
That's right. And so how did you come about, you know, deciding to, you know, start this company?
So I started the company as an offshoot of just not wanting to work for other people anymore. So when that kind of developed, I worked two jobs for a long time and got the shop up and going. But we weren't into firearms. We actually started building race cars. My background's all automotive and nuclear, petrochemical. So I got into the firearms side, the business side, in 2015, just as kind of something else to do with extra CNC machine time. And it kind of got out of hand, and now we're at. But I've been a lifetime shooter, so it was inevitable I would get into it on the business side as well.
Yeah, and you know, this year, the state of Texas passed a bill that said that hey, you know what, exempting Texas-made suppressors from the National Firearms Act. And in response to that, the ATF came back and they said, well, you know, federal law still supersedes Texas' new law. And NFA regulations still apply regardless of whether the silencer or suppressor has crossed state lines. And so, and I know a lot of people are excited about this and say, hey, you know, the state of Texas passed a law that said, hey, if a silencer or suppressor is being made in Texas and it's stamped made in Texas, then I should be able to bypass the federal law and, you know, and take that suppressor home. ATF came back and said, no. Everything crosses state lines. There's nothing, no part, there's some piece of that item crosses state lines. Not everything is made in Texas. And they're right. The majority of stuff that we get are made from other states. Matter of fact, other countries. You know, even when you're making something, you're getting a part. Most likely some part, some piece of that you're getting from somewhere else, like another country. And so it's got to cross interstate commerce. And if it crosses interstate commerce, the federal government comes in, and that is regulated by the federal government. So, you know, and I know, TJ, you asked about that.
But then why did we do the law?
I don't know. You know, and I ask people to move with caution when it comes to that. You know, because like I said, something crosses state lines. It crosses, you know, it comes from, you know, another country. So you have to be careful of that. And, you know, that screw or piece or spring or, you know, grommet, something is coming from somewhere else. So you got to be cautious of that.
Click the button that time. I did click the button. I know what you were going to say. I know you.
All right. All right. So we're having fun in the studio today. So tell us, you know, I mean, first, what your thoughts on that, on what Texas did, you know, if you have an opinion on that. And then, you know, I want to know some of your new products that you have.
Sure. So that piece of legislation was interesting. I think we saw it also in, I want to say, Kentucky, or it was Nebraska, where they also did the same thing where they passed it at the state level. But I also know that some guys made some suppressors, sold them to some people in the state, and ATF came in and raided them and essentially held them to federal regulations.
Right. They were convicted, and they appealed that case to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided not to hear it, and they've been convicted of a felony.
Yeah, and they're looking at, and you know, ATF likes to make an example of people sometimes. So, you know, that's 10, I think it's 10 years and 250 grand per offense. Mm. So, you know, if they want to make an example of them, they could really put them away for a long time. So, I think it's interesting that Texas passed it. Knowing what the history is on the Nebraska, I think it was Nebraska case. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised that they passed it, but if anything, it just really proves a point that, you know, hey, like, states are really thinking about this. Like, this is a topic that is becoming more and more prevalent, even at the state level, that people are tired of their, you know, Second Amendment rights being, you know, trampled all over. And
not just their Second Amendment, you know, rights, all their rights.
Well, all of them, but I specifically talk about Second Amendment. But yeah, you're 100% correct. So I think it's more of a wake up call to the federal government side that people are just getting tired. And I think it was just kind of a show of power and show of like, hey, like we're here and you know, you need to start listening to us, and we're tired of putting up with the same crap that you've been giving out for decades. You got to think NFA Act was what, 1934? So, you know, there's been a lot of trampling for many, many decades.
Now, what are some of the new products you guys are coming out with? Some new things you're trying to do?
So we got a whole bunch of stuff. You know, we officially launched our brand KGM on the suppressor side in January of this year. We have everything from 22 to 50 BMG. So we have 22s, we have 5.56s, 9mm. We have a lot of caliber specific stuff. So again, my background, a lot of guys we work that we work with are all precision based. So we do a lot of long range shooting, ELR, PRS, stuff like that. So we do a lot of titanium stuff. We also do a lot of caliber specific stuff because you can really optimize the can for the caliber. So we have a 6mm dedicated can. We have a 6.5, 30, 338. We got a 375 stuff we're working on. We have some integrals that are coming out next year. So it's really quite a large gambit to really hone in your suppressor for your given application, because that's where you're going to get the most performance and really the most value for your money. Because, you know, these aren't cheap. You have them for the whole rest of your life. You might as well buy something that is applicable to what you're using. There's a lot of do-all suppressors out there, and you can buy a 338 can and shoot on everything. It'll probably sound pretty good, but it's kind of one of those, you know, you got to think about jack of all trade, master of none kind of mentality. So it really depends on what you're looking for, but we got just about everything.
Now, what about the process, you know, getting the tack stamp and stuff like that? You guys working on anything for that to speed it up, help speed it up?
So it's not super public, but there has been. So the ATF, well, NFA Brent specifically received some funding, I think about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, on how to upgrade their system. So, you know, any of y'all that have gone through the tax stamp process knows that it's very archaic. You know, you're still hand filing forms and filling stuff out. And then the NFA branch is also hand entering your information. You have errors and all stuff like that. So they got some funding to digitize the entire system and make it cloud-based. And they did probably the smartest thing that they've done in a long time, and that's hire an outside firm to actually build the back end. You know, eForm ones was kind of the test where you can do SBRs and SBSs, stuff like that. So that was kind of the test of going to a digital system. And we see plenty of sub 30-day forms.
Yeah.
So that kind of proved the theory that, hey, this is possible, this works. And so they hired Oracle to actually build the entire digital backend system. So I don't know when that's going to be released. They promised it this year. We've done some beta testing months, probably almost 9 months ago. But that's probably the next really big leap in forms, is digitizing the entire system from your photos to your fingerprints to actually how it goes to the ATF, it actually goes to the FBI for your NICS check.
Now, what about parts and pieces? Are you having problems getting, you know, parts to make your suppressors, your silencers?
Not right now. There's some material shortages here and there, especially on the Inconel and nickel-based alloy. So a lot of the stuff we do on the belt fed on the military side, we're having a little bit of trouble sourcing large quantities of material, but right now, the unfortunate side is you can get material, but most of the time you have to order it 30 to 50 weeks in advance.
Oh, wow.
So we're placing orders for material for what we're going to build June to August of next year.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so wow. You just got to be a little more on top of your game with planning. You got to be really good at your forecasting, really good at your manufacturing supply chain. But we have a really good vendor base that we occupy about 120 machines in 5 states.
Oh, wow.
So we have a large base. We have a good vendor pool, but we also, because the buying power that we have, we buy direct. A lot of the stuff we buy directly from the mill.
Okay. And then what about working with Silencer Shop?
So Silencer Shop, we do some work with them. Again, you know, we build a lot of stuff for OEM. So we ship a lot of major brands that you probably know that I can't talk about, but a lot of major brands we ship to Silencer Shop. They have a really, really good system with the kiosks and the digitization of everything they've done. So you can there's some slight conflicts with them selling our stuff directly because of some of our other OEMs. But you can buy our products through their system, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us, how do we find KG, you know, KG Technologies? How do I get myself a KG-made suppressor and silencer?
So KGM-tech.com. You know, you had the website pulled up on Instagram or KGM Technologies. We will have a full shopping cart set up where we will be able to take orders off the website, essentially get all your information, and then we'll essentially work with our dealer network or be able to transfer to a local dealer of yours and be able to start facilitating sales that way. So if someone has never bought one before or doesn't know or wants to buy it directly, but the dealer doesn't want to carry the line, you can still buy a suppressor. It's a similar business model to Silencer Shop. We've been working with them on it.
Yeah. I tell you, you know, Gary, all business is done, you know, in the bar. It really is. You know, I was literally sitting at the bar and really everything's done at my favorite place. I'm not going to name the name. And I'm sitting at the bar and just talking, and the bartender mentions to someone sitting off to the side, yeah, this guy is in the gun industry. And, you know, selling guns. And so the guy said, oh, really? Well, I have this friend, you know, he does suppressors. I'm like, really? Well, who's your friend? You know, what was the name of the company? He says, you know, KG. He's like, KG Made, KG Technologies. I was like, oh, yeah, I know them. Yeah, we get a lot of those suppressors in. And I said, man, give this guy my number. Tell him to give me a call. You know, I tell you, that's how things happen.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you're almost 100% right. I would say the majority of business is done in a bar. And then a business that's not done in a bar is done in the strip club.
Oh, my goodness.
Is there a difference?
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Hired.
Get us all
this. This guy's my new agent. I'll talk to TJ.
Oh, man. And you know, and before we cut you loose, I do want to talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Man, I tell you, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse, not guilty. You know, what say you?
On all counts, man. That's awesome.
That's right.
It really was a reaffirmation of self-defense rights, and it was a bad situation. There was no doubt about that, but he handled himself extremely well. If you look at a lot of the details, and it's funny, a lot of the details have come out after the fact, like he was protecting his grandparents' store, and it was a lot of other stuff. He was trying to put out fires. He was doing stuff like that. He didn't try to pull the trigger until someone was actively trying to kill him. And even then, he fired very accurately, just the number of rounds he needed to. And
he's 17.
And got out. And he's 17.
That's insane.
There's a lot of people that are three or four times older than him that would have not held themselves in the same situation. So I applaud him 110% for holding his own, you know, doing what he had to do to get out of a bad situation. It's unfortunate for him that he had to do that.
He had to sit in the clink for a minute, though.
He did. He did.
Hey, you know, real quick before you go, you did mention that this is reaffirming self-defense rights. And I also want to mention that this verdict sets the precedent that if you're being chased by a mob of people who have threatened to kill you, it's okay to defend yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. DJ?
Yeah. You don't have to go on a shooting spree, but you if you're cornered and you're put up against a spot and you just want to get out of there, that it is okay to defend yourself. And in a court of law, it will be it'll be upheld, which is again a massive plus one to the personal rights and the self-defense community for sure.
Right. And it doesn't have to be a mob that's chasing you. It could just be Michael Cargill could be chasing me down.
But if you can't outrun it.
With a baseball bat, okay?
If you can't outrun Michael Cargill, something's wrong with you, I'm telling you.
Well, you're the one that said earlier today you were
going jogging all the time.
Okay, well, we're going
jogging.
Because
we knew that was a big load. Michael never jogged in his life.
I have another question for the gentleman on the phone. You said you had six plants around the country. Is one of them in Texas?
No, one of them is not actually not in Texas. Used to be
why?
In Texas, but
why isn't one of them in Texas?
Well, we it was the
he says coming soon, coming soon.
Out.
We say it didn't
soon.
Work out.
Well, no, it just didn't work out.
Well, you need to try again, and you need to bring business to Texas, okay? Because I'm assuming that the people that work for you are liberty-loving Americans, and we need more of those here in Texas and less people from Google and Apple.
So less people from California, I'll tell you. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, thank you, Kyle. I appreciate you coming on and tell us about KGM Technologies. I like to refer to it as KG Made, but KGM Technologies, the founder and CTO of KGM Technologies. Man, thank you, Kyle.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
All right, you have a wonderful rest of your day. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to talk more about this Kyle Rittenhouse case. I got some news going all around the country. I want to talk ghost guns, deadliest city. Who is the deadliest city in the country? Man, someone was drunk, high, and rolling. I'm going to tell you what that means when we come back from the break. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hi, this is Stephen Wolliford, the Barefoot Defender. I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so I want to go over a little news here, man. We got some news going on around the world and the state. So over in Atlanta, Georgia, got a couple things going on in Atlanta. We got that the little mass exodus of the Atlanta airport that took place.
Mass exodus.
You know how it happens, you know. One person, you know, starts running and everybody runs. It's crazy.
Astro World, man.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Mayhem.
Michael, did you say that the guy that pulled the trigger was a TSA agent?
That's what I'm saying. And that's Michael is saying that. I haven't confirmed that, but I'm telling you that I bet you that's what happened.
Okay.
That's going to be my guess.
They did say the passenger sprung for the gun.
Right. Basically what happens is the guy goes into the airport, takes a trip. He has his gun in his luggage. He goes to the checkpoint, you know, the security area there where they're checking and scanning, you know, your stuff for weapons, you know, those things, guns and bombs and knives and stuff. So he goes in through there. They find a gun in his luggage and they say, "Woo, dude, you got a gun in the bag." TSA agent goes to pick up the gun. It was negligently discharged and then everyone ran for their life. In the airport, cleared the entire Atlanta airport out. The entire place cleared out.
What caliber was it?
Don't know.
It wasn't a 22. Wouldn't have been loud enough.
Don't know. Cleared it. And so, man, it was complete mayhem. They had to stop flights. It was just madness at the airport. So, and that's a major hub. That's a major airport in this country to shut things down. So let's go back to Atlanta. Let's stay in Atlanta because Atlanta's good. Let me tell you,
They're in rare form.
Boy, I tell you, it's been a crazy week. So an ambulance driver.
Hey, real quick, before you move on to that, I don't know if you saw this part, but it said the individual whose weapon was discharged was identified as 42-year-old Kenny Wells. Uh-huh. And this is a quote from the Atlanta Police Department Airport Precinct Commander. "We have taken out warrants for carrying concealed weapon at a commercial airport, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, discharging a firearm in reckless conduct." Mm. So they're saying he discharged it.
They think he did it. And I think they're blaming it on him. I'm willing to bet the TSA agent did. Because they see a gun, the likelihood of them letting you reach for the gun and take it is not likely.
Right. They're pulling you aside and saying, "Hey."
I can see a TSA agent grabbing that gun, it discharging, and then that person, TSA agent, dropping the gun.
Well,
and then that guy reaches for the gun, takes off, and runs.
It's possible that what if this was a situation where somebody was trying to, you know.
No, he's just a dumb.
How do you know that?
Oh, I'm sure. He's just a dumb.
Just instinct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's just
negligent. Like,
yeah. All right. So let's stay in Atlanta, though. Staying in Atlanta. Ambulance driver facing charges trying to leave an Uber after a deadly crash. And this is the case of drunk, high, and rolling. You ready for drunk, high, and rolling?
What's rolling?
Okay. So
what does that mean, Michael?
Well, let's check it out. So details have come out and been released by a police department outside of Atlanta there that a driver of a deadly ambulance crash that killed a patient Friday night. So the ambulance driver, 34-year-old certified paramedic, is facing DUI and homicide charges after crashed and killed a 66-year-old Wilton Thomason, who was on dialysis a patient who was being transported. Now, basically what this guy did was the officer responded to the crash and said he arrived to find the ambulance turned over in the ditch, according to the report, and witnesses on the scene provided the officer with a ladder to climb on the back door of the ambulance, where he saw the driver, another passenger, and the patient in the ambulance. And so when the officer came out of the ambulance, you know, because he was pulling everyone out, he saw that the driver started to give CPR to the patient. And so when the driver said, you know, that the patient had gone to cardiac arrest, and once a medic from another ambulance arrived, he looked at Thomas and he said, hey, he's passed away. You can stop giving him CPR. Everyone climbed out of the ambulance, and it was overturned and everything. And so while Georgia State Patrol was on their way to the scene, the driver, the ambulance driver, and the passenger of the ambulance, they tried to grab an Uber and take off and leave. And so when the Georgia State Patrol arrived, they said, hey, you know, we need to give you a sobriety test. They gave this guy a sobriety test, which he failed. And the report reveals that the driver admitted to smoking marijuana, taking Adderall, and drinking a beer, all while driving the ambulance. And boy, let me tell you, that's Atlanta. That's crazy, isn't that? Is that not insane, TJ?
What a way to go.
Well, I think that could probably happen any place. Drunk. I don't think Atlanta is any different than I. It wouldn't have surprised me if you had said that was Austin.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Why?
Well, you know.
Did you see this part? The part here where it says it is still unclear if the passenger worked with the driver or was there with the patient. What if it was just his buddy, and they were just driving around,
smoking and toking?
You know what I'm saying? What I mean by that?
Oh yeah.
You know,
like, hey, what are you doing on Thursday night? Hey, man, I'm driving an ambulance drunk. You want to come hang out? Yeah.
Sure, man. I'll bring the weed.
I tell you what. You know what? We got about a minute left, so let's stay in Georgia real quick. I got one more story for you, Georgia. So a prosecutor pleads guilty and resigns as the jury deliberates. So basically, as a jury was deliberating over this guy's fate, and a Georgia district attorney on Monday pleaded guilty to several charges stemming from improper acts while in office and agreed to resign. Mark Jonas had already been suspended as Chattahoochee Judicial Circuit District Attorney after the state attorney general's office obtained the indictment on September the 7th. It accused him of trying to influence a police officer's testimony, offering bribes to prosecutors in his office, and trying to influence and prevent the testimony of a crime victim. Now, Jones took office in January, overseeing the Chattahoochee Judicial Circuit, which serves as Muskogee, Harris, Chattahoochee, Mayor unanimous on three of the nine charges, and the judge instructed them to keep working on the others, according to a local news outlet. So this guy, man, I don't know what's up in Georgia. I don't know what they're drinking.
Georgia's
I don't know what's
in
the Kool-Aid.
Man.
We come back. We're going to talk about.
They're getting too much Chattahoochee down
we're
there.
We're going to talk more. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
KKCE, Bullingwood, Austin. KKMJ, HD2, Austin. The place to turn when you need to know.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so you hear that? They were talking about that on the news a second ago. So Austria, getting ready to go back into lockdown. And Germany may follow suit. Boy, I'm telling you, that's bad. I'm going to tell you why that's bad. It's bad for firearms because, you know, Glock 43, Sires, M6, you have a lot of different parts and pieces are actually being manufactured and made in Austria and then shipped over to the United States. Do you know that the majority of our parts and pieces that we get for guns are made from other countries?
Yeah, that might actually be a good thing. Maybe people will start producing more pieces and parts in the U.S.
I want to know what's going on with ammo.
Yeah, when are you going to get some 38?
Here's the problem with the ammo. When everything shut down last year, March 13th of 2020, everyone ran to the gun, you know, ran to the store to purchase guns and buy ammunition. When they went to buy ammo, instead of normally people going and getting one box here, one box there as they needed it, they were buying, you know, a case or two cases. So
when was the last time somebody came in and bought one box of ammo anytime?
It just happens.
I don't think I've ever bought one box of ammo at a time.
A lot of people do that. And so now they're buying more than they normally did. And because of that, it's like supply and demand, you know? So demand is high and now supply is low. It's hard to restock that And then you got a problem with trucks. You got a problem with moving things, goods and services around the country. You know, it's a problem all around, like toilet paper.
But they solved the toilet paper problem. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, there was an issue with toilet paper for a short time. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've been 18 months.
In March, you had.
I ordered 1,000 rounds of 45 mm-hmm. off the internet mm-hmm. 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. And
the real question is, how many people buy 1,000 rounds at a time?
Well, I'm on my way to a front sight course where I need 600 rounds for the course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're a
he's a shooter.
Okay, I didn't realize. Okay, so that makes more sense. Then.
All right.
No, I mean, I needed 600 rounds and I ordered 1,000
for an event.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. And I mean, 18 months ago from a reputable online dealer mm-hmm. said, hey, I need 1,000 rounds. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, great, you can have it. And then as soon as I gave my credit card, I got the email, well, it's in back order.
It's going to be back ordered.
Now I just got another one said, it's still back ordered. Do you still want to keep it? And I said, yeah, I'm going to still keep it. It's going to take me 2 years from sportsman. I don't understand why we haven't solved the issue.
The problem is you have the same amount of ammunition as being made, but the demand is a lot higher. And then in some cases, less is being made because you can't find employees to work.
Yeah, there's a labor shortage.
Some people
shortage
don't
as
want
well.
To go back
point.
To work. And that affects everything. That affects the warehouse. It affects the manufacturer. It affects the transportation,
well, Michael,
the trucks,
that just
everything.
Means that you need to work harder and stop being so lazy.
I'm going to jump across this table.
Okay, I want to do a video of that. Him jogging and jumping across the table.
Man. Hey, so during the break, he did ask a really, in my opinion, a very interesting question, and I think it's pertinent. Is the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict going to affect the Garrett Foster case in any way? Mm-hmm. Well, the Daniel Perry case, I'm sorry.
Daniel Perry. And I think not. I think the only thing it's going to do is going to motivate their DA, and it's going to motivate that DA to try to make sure he finds a jury in liberal Austin that's going to try to convict this guy.
Right, okay.
You know, that's going to judge this case by their feelings and not on the evidence or the law. I think that's what they're going to try to do. Yeah.
I think the DA was always going to try to find a liberal jury. I mean, no matter what. I mean,
yeah,
no
that's
matter
a good
what.
Point.
Okay. It's not like I have a lot of faith in the Austin DA, Travis County DA, that he's going to do anything fair and honest.
So maybe what might happen is that they use the Rittenhouse case as a point of reference, possibly. I don't know what the arguments on each side are going to be, but maybe they'll say it was a situation like that because it was similar in the sense that it was the same. Well, it wasn't a riot; it was a protest.
But at that point, it's still a mob and self defense.
Yeah, that's okay. It always comes back to these mobs. You notice that every time a mob of people tries to chase somebody down, somebody dies. Maybe we should just stop having torches and pitchforks and running around like crazy, and we settle things like adults and communicate.
The problem is you have this group of people that think that, you know, they have a right to take to the streets, what they do, to let people know that they're upset about something.
But
when you take to the street, you know, you are blocking someone's path.
And you have to deal with the consequences. Just
exactly.
Like freedom of speech.
Exactly.
Freedom of assembly is the same way. With freedom of speech, you have the freedom of speech. You have the freedom to say something, but you also have the freedom to reap the consequences of what you say.
And then when you attack people and then you threaten them and then you attack and threaten them with a firearm, there are consequences of that. And like I always say, he who draws first and fires wins.
Yeah, it's called being quick on the draw, baby.
And we already and the debate has been settled. The AR-15, AK-47 debate.
You like that I sent you that earlier, huh?
Has been settled. That is correct.
Hey, what's better, an AK-47 or an AR-15?
I'm a AR-15 fan.
Absolutely, that's right.
American rifle.
That's the only right answer right there.
That's right.
Anybody that's got an AK-47? Commie scumbag.
That's right. AR.
Well, that's like those people that play soccer.
Commies.
It's a communist game.
What if we play soccer with AR-15?
That's right.
I know you can go skiing with an AR-15, and that's a sport.
Now we're talking.
I didn't know you could play.
You know, it's funny. I'm
actually
one of these articles we put in the show doc today from the Rolling Stone. Is it actually shows a man with an American flag on his arm? You see this right here, and he's riding around on a skateboard with an AR-15. You see that?
Well, he's ready for everything.
That's one of those motorized boards. That's one of those motorized boards too. He's going to drive by somebody.
That's the future of warfare, right there, dude. Hey, Michael, do you know what document I'm talking about here? This article from Rolling Stone: the Rittenhouse verdict in a Supreme Court case could spell an open season on protesters. How ludicrous of a title is that?
Well, they're trying to trigger people. Is what they're trying to do. They're trying to push this narrative that, you shouldn't, you're being attacked by someone. You just don't have the right to defend yourself. And that doesn't make sense to me. I can't comprehend something like that.
Well, I've been saying all along, they're asking the wrong questions and they're making the wrong arguments. Okay, I do not believe for one moment that Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist. But if Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist,
I don't think
it would have made no difference in my opinion at all about this case.
That's a good point. That's actually a really good point.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, he was using self-defense.
Yeah.
I mean...
So, like, if he would have been a Klansman...
He could have been a Klansman.
In a white robe and a pointy hat. He still does...
He still has the right to self-defense. I mean, right. Not at all way, shape, or form saying that Kyle Rittenhouse is anything to do with white supremacy or anything. I don't think that race was any part of the case at all, and shouldn't have been any part of the case at all, but even if you are going to go to the extreme to say Kyle Rittenhouse was a Klansman and a white supremacist, okay, fine, but when he shot those three guys, he was protecting his life.
Do you think,
and there's nothing wrong with that. Period.
When he shot the first person, he was standing up for black folks because the first person said the N-word about 20 times.
So. And he was also a child molester.
That's right.
So Kyle Rittenhouse he's standing up for the kids.
That's right. All about the babies.
This guy's an American hero, Michael.
All about the babies.
Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing wrong.
And the black community.
I agree he did nothing wrong. But he didn't know the guy. He didn't know the guy was a child molester.
No, you can tell. Look at that guy. He looks like a little creepy dude.
Well, I don't know. Look around this table. Okay.
All right. So let's. I want to talk about ghost guns for a second. So there's a story that came out. You know, they always talk about ghost guns in California. So this is out of Chula Vista, California. So whenever they're referring to ghost guns, they basically lump in everything. And basically what they're saying is any gun that doesn't have a serial number on it, they're considered that a ghost gun. So think of it like that. All right. So they're not talking about necessarily 3D printing. They're including 3D printing. They're including, ones that you use to make with a CNC. They're including, and in this particular story, they're including a gun that was, different parts and pieces were bought online. A person put the gun together at home, and it doesn't have to have a serial number on it because you bought it all, everything separate, not together as a firearm, and you put it together yourself, and you made the firearm at home, and it doesn't have to have a serial number, so they're calling that a ghost gun. And so it's a big thing in California now because they're starting to find some of these just like anything else, in different crimes and stuff like that. And
well, it's because nobody can get a gun out there.
Right.
When I lived in California, a lot of people had ghost guns. A lot.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to buy a gun at this point. It's not impossible, but you know what I mean. It's a whole bureaucratic process that nobody wants to go through. Nobody wants to deal with all that.
The only thing people do is they're educating themselves. They're learning that, oh my goodness, I can do this. This is something that you always can do. You always could do this is buy these little parts online from a site somewhere, have it shipped to your house, and then you can build this in your home. And now people are just educating themselves and figuring out that this is actually possible. We come back from the break. In our last little break here, I want to talk about the deadliest cities in the United States. And then, we'll close out with something that happened something's happened around the country where people are going into stores and just taking stuff and driving out. It's called theft in the daytime. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace, this is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill. Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back. I want to talk about some more stuff. I want to go kind of quick here because we got a lot of stories got to cover. We only got a few minutes left. All right, so there's stuff going on around the country where you have people that are going into stores during the daytime and filling up their basket with stuff they, you know, they grab from the store, going outside with the vehicle, parked outside and loading their vehicle in it and loading the vehicle up. And you take a look at this video here, and this is what we call theft during the daytime. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of stores have a policy where the security people can't use force to interact or stop these people from taking the product, you know, if it's a big box store. So they're not going to jump in and grab these people and stop them. And it's theft during the daytime, so you cannot use deadly force for theft happening during the daytime. You can only use deadly force for theft happening at night in Texas, and it varies from state to state. So, you know, this is, and that's all it is. It's theft, and unfortunately, there's not a whole bunch they can do unless they're willing to use force, you know, to jump in and grab their product back and stop those people from doing that. But the reason these people are doing this is because these big box stores have that policy, and they know that the security people are not going to interfere. Their job is to observe and report.
Where are the cops?
Well, we've defunded them.
That's like during the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Uh-huh. So you watch the guy that said him and it took his stepdaughter down and they were videoing from the car. Did you see that part?
Yes.
Where they're beaten, where for 10 minutes they're trashing this car dealers. And where were the cops? Mm. And nobody asked during the Kyle Rittenhouse case, well, did you see any police officers there? No, I didn't. I mean.
Oh, they were just hanging out. Yeah. Like during the Rittenhouse thing, they were all hanging out. That's why I was waving to him at the end.
Right.
But, you know, hey, they defunded the police and then got mad when that guy policed his own town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Walnut Creek, California is where that Nordstrom is, Michael, where 80 people ransacked the place.
80 people?
80 people. Only 3 were arrested. But that's probably why the police were defunded. They only got 3 out of 80. That's, wow.
Not good eyes.
Rookie numbers.
Right, yeah, come on now. Man, Michael's real quick. You know,
he could have been running around. Jogging all day. He could just chase them down.
He could have chased them all down himself.
All by myself.
And jumped over the table.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
You're going to learn today.
All right, so, Michael, we also have this list of the most dangerous cities in America.
The most dangerous.
And I'm going to start with number 10 and work my way to number 1.
Number
How does
10.
That sound?
All right, what you got?
Number 10 from my home state, Cleveland, Ohio.
How many?
The murder rate in Cleveland is 24.09 per 100,000 people.
Uh-huh.
Cleveland is a rough place.
Right.
Memphis, Tennessee, 29.21 per 100,000 people. Memphis also, if you've ever been there, is also a very rough place. It's really beat up, old, nice place. There's a lot of history.
They just lost Young Dolph.
In that cookie store.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City, Missouri. That's not Kansas City, Kansas. Kansas City is in Missouri.
Kansas
just
City's,
so you know.
Kansas City's weird.
Kansas City is in both, by the way.
It is both?
Yes. Yeah.
There's a river
that goes between them. But
the capital is...
In Missouri.
Right. Yeah.
It's in both.
Whatever. Anyways, the murder right there is 29.88. Number 7 is New Orleans. Another... Like, none of these are really that surprising, I guess. 30.67 per 100,000 people. Number 6 is Baton Rouge. Number 5 is my hometown, Dayton, Ohio. It says here the murder rate in Dayton is 34.18 per 100,000. That number spiked nearly 7.8 per 100,000 residents from 2018 to 2019.
What did it do between 2019 and 2020, I wonder?
Was that the defunding of the police?
That didn't start until 2020, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right, actually. Detroit, Michigan. Birmingham, Alabama. Number 2 is Baltimore, Maryland.
With
and
what?
Number 1 is St. Louis, Missouri.
What's Baltimore's?
Baltimore's murder rate is 58.27.
58 people out of 100,000.
And St. Louis is 64.54 murders per 100,000 people. So, right. Michael, I was telling them
what number are we at?
We just finished it.
Oh, okay.
I
so who's number 1?
Number one, St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Highest murder rate of any major American city in 2019.
It's going to be St. Louis, Missouri. That's not surprising.
Austin is one of the five safest big cities in the country.
Well, you know.
Yeah, the Austin this year has the highest rate, highest number of murders in the history of this city since they began taking
police. It was a lapse in judgment.
Since they began taking the... taking down the statistics in 1960.
Mm.
Were we going to hit triple digits this year, Mr. Michael?
We may come close. I thought we were, but now we're running down to a very short amount of time. Let me bring into this conversation. We have State Representative James White on the phone. Representative White, how you doing, sir?
Hey, man, I feel blessed. I hit the jackpot today. My buddy TJ is on the line.
Oh, man, how are you doing?
Hey, Jimbo, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm blessed. And I just want to know, listening to you guys for the last hour or so really, you know, brings home the why I'm so thankful to live in the United States.
That's right. That's right. And
especially Texas.
And Texas.
Yeah, that's right.
And Texas.
And what's
Let me say this. In East Texas. y'all a little weird around there in that Central Texas. Y'all a little weird that Central Texas. But we love you.
Baby.
We love you.
Love it.
Oh, so tell me, what's your take on the Kyle Rittenhouse case?
Hey, look. Obviously, you know, Mike, I've done a lot of policy work in the criminal justice policy arena. To the best of my knowledge, this was a clean trial. The jury has spoken, and we need to move on. Okay. This is obviously, from a policy perspective, affirmation of self-defense, okay, and constitutional firearms rights.
Absolutely.
James, Have you listened to the whole thing? Did you hear us discussing whether the Aubrey case and the Rittenhouse case were the same?
Yes, I came in right about when you guys were talking about that.
And do you think they're the same?
Yes and no. Okay, I understand the context now of what one of the panelists was saying is that one of the Chasees. In these scenarios did not have some implement of self-defense, okay, and the other did. But again, I think this is going to be another question, and based on what I'm seeing, it still looks like it's a clean trial. It's you know, going on the process. It's, you know, it's following the process. Let me ask Mike this real quick as I'm saying this. I know the defense counsel wanted to kick the pastors out.
Mm-hmm.
Did the judge do that?
No. So,
it's a clean trial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, shucks, James. I was hoping you were going to disagree and say that there was nothing to like it, because I wanted to hear Michael call you a racist.
See, and that's why I called State Representative White, because I knew that he's going to look at this, you know, in a way where he's going to analyze the information, and you know, and he doesn't look at it in the eyes of color.
You're the one that brought the color up.
Yeah,
I told you not to let him get it.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
And real quick, you know, with all of the misinformation out there about this young man, he crossed interstate lines with a rifle. We know that's not true, okay? But I don't even see how that matters. I don't see anything that stops me from carrying a rifle across interstate lines. And also, as someone stated, I don't know if he is, but even if he was a white supremacist, I don't think he is, okay? That doesn't factor in this case, okay? And I think the same thing could be said about this other situation. You know, the pastors have not been kicked out of the courtroom as public observers. To me, in that Aubrey case, it still looks like it is a clean trial as best as it can. And we should be able to accept the jury verdict, however it plays out.
Representative White, I was going to tell you that just to add on to what we were talking about with the defense attorney asking the black pastors to not be in the room, here's a little update. More than 100 clergy gathered outside of the court after the defense attorney complained about black pastors. Just a little side note for you.
Yeah, yeah, and look, you know, at least in Texas, I believe we have not only statutes but constitutional provisions that our courts are open to the public. Now, you can't go in and disrupt the proceedings, right,
guys?
We got
5 seconds left, Representative White.
Okay. So, hey, God bless y'all, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving. God bless Texas.
Absolutely.
Have a great one, James.
You too.
You too.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. As always, folks, remember this. You'll remember anything else. More guns always equal less crime. So you go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You listen to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.